أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين. ربي وفقني وسائر المشتغلين للعلم والعمل الصالح بحق محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. It seems to be that you are not in Iraq nowadays, you are in USA. So I hope that everything is okay back there. We reached to, with Islamic laws, we reached to issue number 525. Within this issue 525, if a woman with a fixed habit of hayd sees blood continuously for a month, okay, that bleeding continue for a month or more after giving birth to a child, the blood seen for the days equal to her hayd habit will be nifas, and the blood seen after that for 10 days will be istihada. Even if it coincides with the dates of her monthly hayd. For example, yes, you are right, she should see a doctor. But actually, Mr. Ali, we are not dealing with the medical situations, we are dealing with the jurisprudence situations, the hukum. There is a woman whose fixed hayd habit is from 20th. Fixed hayd habit is from 20th to 27th of every month. Okay? She gives birth on the 10th of a given month and she continues to see blood for a month or more. Her nifas will be 7 days. Equal to, where is she? I'm not seeing anybody knocking the key sign. If she's knocking, I'll let her in. Okay, inshallah. Yes, she gives birth on the 10th of a given month and she continues to see blood for a month or more, her nifas will be 7 days equal to her hayd, days, and will be from 10th to 17th of that month. Now the blood which she continues to see from the 17th onwards for 10 days will be istihada. Okay? Even though it falls in her days of hayd habit. After the lapse of 10 days, if a bleeding continues, then it is hayd. If it falls in the days of habit, irrespective of whether it has the signs of hayd or not. If that blood, it has the signs of hayd or not. And if a bleeding does not occur in the days of hayd habit, she will wait till the days of her habit. Even if it means, yes, waiting for a month or more, and even if a blood has the signs of hayd. And if she has no fixed habit of commencement time of hayd, she should make an effort to recognize her hayd by its signs. It means the signs of the blood. And if that is not possible, because the blood seen after nifas remains of one type, just like blood, all of it blood, all of it red, all of it black, all of it yellowish. Okay, so there is no distinguish of that types of blood. It is only one type. For a month or more, then she will adopt the habit prevailing among her relatives to determine the days of hayd, to determine the days of hayd. And if that also is not possible, then she has an option of fixing her days of hayd. These details have been dealt within discussion about hayd. Exactly. Maybe her mother, her sister, her aunt, one of them. Yes, one of them. Okay. Issue number 526. If a woman does not have a fixed habit of duration, and if after giving birth she sees the blood continuously for a month or more, the rules contained in number 523 will apply to the first 10 days. And as for the next 10 days, it is istihaba. And as regards the blood seen thereafter, it can be either hayd or istihaba. And in order to ascertain whether it is hayd, she will follow the rule stated in the foregoing clause. Now we came to a new issue. This issue about bath for touching a dead body. Definitely, I'm not agreeing with the translation of bath, because if we make it ghusl, instead of bath, you know, bath, now, bath for touching a dead body, or ghusl for touching a dead body. Definitely a person, when he dies, he needs for a while his body to be cool. Okay, when a person dies, for a while his body will be warm, and if you touch him while his body is still warm, there is no ghusl. But if you touch him after his body being cold, so in this case we need ghusl from you. Issue 527. Yes, if a person touches a human dead body which has become cold and has not yet been given ghusl, it means the dead body hasn't been given what? Ghusl yet. Okay? Example, brings any part of his own body in contact with it, refers to the dead body. Since a person is, he dies, so we'll give him the pronoun it. He should do ghusl regardless of whether he touched it while asleep or awake, voluntarily or otherwise. Ghusl will also be wajib if his nail or bone touches the nail or bone of the dead body. However, ghusl is not obligatory if one touches a dead animal. So there is difference between dead animal and dead person. Issue number 528. If a person touches a dead body which has not become entirely cold. Ghusl will not be wajib, even if the part touched has become cold. So we need the entirely body is cold. The entirely body is cold. Okay. Issue number 529. If a person brings his hair in contact with the body of a dead person, or if his body touches the hair of the dead person, or if his hair touches the hair of the dead person, ghusl will not become obligatory. So it means if the person touches the hair of dead body, or the hair of the person touches the body of dead person, so here ghusl is not wajib for the person. Issue number 530. If a person touches a dead child, if a person touches a dead child or a fetus in which life has entered, then ghusl for touching it will be obligatory. Hence, if a still, so here if person touches what? A dead child, a fetus in which life has entered. It means that fetus, it just has what? Soul inside its body. Then ghusl for touching it will be obligatory. Hence, if a stillborn child whose body has become cold comes in contact with the outer part of its mother's body, the mother should do ghusl. The mother should do ghusl for touching the dead body. In fact, as an obligatory precaution, she should do ghusl even if the child has not touched the outer part of her body. Okay? Yes. So in all cases that the mother should do ghusl. Issue number 531. A child who is born after its mother has died and her body has become cold, and if it touches any outer part of mother's dead body, it should do ghusl on attaining the age of puberty. In fact, it should do ghusl as a precaution, even if it did not touch the mother's body. You see? Again, issue number 531. A child who is born after its mother has died. Now the mother has died. The first issue, 530, that the fetus dies. Now, in this issue, the mother dies and her body has become cold, and if it touches any outer part of mother's dead body, it should do ghusl on attaining the age of puberty. In fact, it should do ghusl as a precaution, even if it did not touch the mother's body. Issue number 532. If a person touches a dead body after it has been given three obligatory ghusls, you know, first of all, we have to ghusl the dead body with the water and mixed with kafur. The first one is water with sidr. Secondly, water mixed with kafur, and thirdly with pure water. Okay, So now we did make ghusl for this dead body. If a person touches a dead body after it has been given three obligatory ghusls, ghusl for touching will not be wajib. So is it wajib for me to do ghusl since that I touched the dead body after doing what? After doing the three ghusls? So Sayyid Sistani said, will not be wajib. However, if he touches any part of the dead body before the completion of three ghusls, he should do ghusl for touching. Ah, exactly. The body become tahir. Exactly, the body become tahir after the three ghusls. The three ghusls. And he should do ghusl for touching the dead body if there is no completion of what? Of the three ghusls. Even if the third ghusl of that part which he has touched may have been done. Okay. Issue number 533. If an insane person or a minor touches a dead body, the insane person would do ghusl when he becomes sane, and similarly the minor child would do ghusl when he attains the age of puberty, when he become adult. If a part is separated from a living person or from a dead body which has not yet been given ghusls, and a person touches the separated part, he does not have to do any ghusl, even if that separate part contains bones. Yes, Al-Zahra is here. Yes. With issue number 534, in this issue, if a part is separated, issue number 534, if a part is separated from a living person or from a dead body which has not yet been given ghusls, and a person touches that separated part, he does not have to do any ghusl, even if that separate part contains bones. Okay. Issue number 535. It is not obligatory to do ghusl for touching a separated bone which has not been given ghusl, whether it has been separated from a dead body or from a living person. The same rule applies to touching the teeth which have been separated from a dead body or a living person. Okay. Issue number 536. The method of doing ghusl for touching the dead body is the same as of ghusl for janaba. The method of doing ghusl for touching the dead body is the same as of ghusl for janaba. Absolutely, and حيض استحاضة, غسل مسميت, all kinds of ghusls, they are the same method, the same way. Okay, however, for a person who has done ghusl for touching a dead body, the recommended precaution is that he should perform wudu if he wants to pray. So if he do ghusl masmayit and he wants to pray after making ghusl masmayit, he has to what? To perform ablution. Issue number 537. A person who has not done ghusl after touching a dead body. A person who has not done ghusl after touching a dead body is not prohibited from halting or posing in a masjid, or from having sexual intercourse with his wife, or from reciting the verses of the Holy Quran which have obligatory sajda. However, he should do ghusl for offering prayers or for other similar acts of worship. You see, it is not allowed for him to do all these acts without what? Without performing ghusl. Without performing ghusl. Alright, now shall we stop here? والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.